In the morning, I did mention that I felt privileged and I was truly grateful to stand before you and preach God's word. This evening, I repeat the same words. I truly count myself privileged to come and share from God's word. And I do believe that together, will indeed learn something concerning the subject of personal evangelism. Please turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, and chapter 8. We read together from verse 26 to 40. And there we see the story of a man called Philip, and the way he ministered to this Ethiopian man. Verse 26 of Acts and chapter 8, the Bible reads, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I? Unless someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. This evening, as we look at this passage, I'd like to remind us that during the month of evangelism, it is our custom to look at some of these topics that will encourage us as a church, as Christians, to be involved in this work of evangelism. And this evening is no exception, for I draw our attention to this subject of personal evangelism, learning from Philip. Personal evangelism, learning from Philip. Just a few words regarding the background of the passage, or where Acts is falling in terms of the divisions of the Bible. We see that in the New Testament, there are three divisions. That is from Matthew to Revelation. The first part we see is that which is called the historical. The historical is actually Matthew to Acts. And then we also see the second part of the New Testament, which is called the epistolary. In this particular section, we only find letters, epistles, written by Paul, written by John, and many others. And the last part of the New Testament is that which is called the prophetical, and this just has the book of Revelation. Now, the central theme of the New Testament is salvation. And as we begin to look at Acts, we need to remember that it falls into this theme of salvation, but it also falls in this category of the historical. Now, the historical is also divided into parts. From Matthew to John, we see that this talks about the coming Savior. In other words, it is called the manifestation, talking about this Savior who is going to come. But we also see that Acts is called the propagation. In other words, proclaiming the message of the Savior who has come. And as we see, this worker in Philip, he is proclaiming the Savior who has come. Beloved friends, Acts has got a record of the spreading of the gospel. And we are also reminded again that this particular subject of personal evangelism is not just tied to Philip. It is also found, if we are to explore in this particular book of Acts, for instance, from chapter 4, where we see the church suffering persecution, where Christians were scattered, as it were. Now, those who were scattered into different places were sharing the gospel. And I need to just remind you that indeed persecution did not kill the church, but persecution had a part in spreading the gospel. Those who went to different places shared the gospel. In sharing the gospel, there was an element of this personal evangelism. Beloved, we know what evangelism is, but probably it would be good for us to refresh our minds and look at some of these definitions. What is evangelism? It is the sharing of the good news of salvation to the unconverted. Sharing of the good news of salvation to the unconverted. But what is the definition of personal evangelism? And that this is just a step further on what we have talked about regarding the definition of evangelism. This personal evangelism is sometimes referred to as one-to-one or personal work. This approach to evangelism is when one Christian evangelizes to typically one Christian, or a few non-Christians in a private manner. So it is when one Christian evangelizes to typically one non-Christian or only a few non-Christians in a private manner. So when we talk about personal evangelism, we are talking about a Christian out of the program of the church and as compelled by the Lord, he goes to speak to one soul and not in a formal and arranged manner, in a private manner. That is what we call personal evangelism. One individual going as compelled by the Lord to go and speak to that soul which is not saved. Beloved church, we have a very good example of our Lord Jesus Christ who engaged in this personal evangelism. The one who at so many times left the disciples behind and went and engaged into conversations with people. For instance, in John chapter 4, we see him engaged in this personal evangelism, evangelizing the woman at the well. This was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate example. He practiced personal evangelism. In personal evangelism, you engage in this activity without the influence of a particular church program. You are compelled to do this as an individual Christian. Personal evangelism, as we shall see in this case of Philip, is not a passive activity. It is not passive, but it is somewhat aggressive in nature. Beloved, this subject we are looking at this evening is probably one of our weaknesses as Reformed Baptist people. One of our weaknesses as people who are engaged in secular and formal work. Maybe I can even adopt what I came across where one preacher said, probably 75% of church members are guilty of not performing this task. And someone else said, 90% of church members do not engage in personal evangelism. Something that this evening we may be guilty of not doing. Well, the good news is that we have this passage before us. In case we've never been able to engage in this important task, that we might be encouraged as we look at this man called Philip. Beloved, as we have been told, and as we know, it is personal evangelism learning from Philip. Let us now look at the first thing as we learn from Philip. Philip's accolades. That's the first thing that I want us to look at as we learn from him regarding personal evangelism. And by Philip's accolades. We are just talking about the mark of acknowledgement in his life. What are some of the things that we can acknowledge about this man? When we turn to Acts chapter 6, a few pages back, and read from verse 5, and the context here is that they are choosing men to serve, deacons, as it were. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. There's Prochorus there, there's Nicanor, Timon, and so forth. But after Stephen, we see one man mentioned here, and that is Philip. We see him being chosen to serve. He was among those who were regarded as highly spiritual. And that's what we see in the first instance here about this man. He was one of the seven chosen to care for the poor of the Christian community in Jerusalem. Elsewhere, we see that he preached and reportedly performed miracles in Samaria. And of course, in Acts chapter 8, and what we are looking at, we see that he is a man who is involved in personal evangelism. But we also see this man had a reputation. He entertained the Apostle Paul and his companions on their last journey to Jerusalem. This you shall see in Acts chapter 21. And verse 8. These passages are just to show us a few things. And what we see from here about this man, we are seeking to learn from in terms of personal evangelism. He was a genuine and devout follower of Christ. And when we say genuine, we mean he was born again. He was counted as though, as among those you cannot question whether they are saved. They are those you will see, and you can definitely see the fruit of the Spirit. He was a genuine and devout follower of Christ. But these passages are also telling us something, that he was an active and serving Christian. He was involved in the life of the church. And this is why they have spotted him. And they've said he can be one of those to serve. One of those to take care of the needs in the church. Is it not what we do when we are even trying to propose names for the diaconate? We see those who are serving. This man, not only was he an active and serving Christian, in the third place, these passages are also telling us that he was in the right standing, or in right standing as a Christian. The right state, as it were, which means he was walking right with the Lord. It means that he was serious in his walk as a Christian. But what we also notice is that he had a compassionate heart. Why do I say so? When you are choosing deacons, I'm sure you will consider this aspect. One has got a heart. Heart of compassion. But not just that he was picked and he was chosen And that's all we can use to say that he was compassionate. But we also see in this particular passage that I refer to, Acts 21, we see him entertaining the Apostle Paul and his companions. This was his life and this was his heart. He was compassionate. Beloved, compassion drives men to share God's word. Usually, devout Christians are the ones who engage in evangelism. Those who are committed to the Lord usually are the ones who engage in personal evangelism. And I must put it to us this evening that it is very unlikely for a nominal Christian to be engaged in evangelism and especially personal evangelism. Nominal Christian. In other words, what I'm saying as I'm looking at the accolades of this man, Philip, is that we can learn this, that to a larger extent, your spirituality affects your involvement in personal evangelism. Beloved friends, this is the man who was involved in personal evangelism. Devout, committed, active, right standing before the Lord, and compassionate. We must hurry on and look at the second thing. Yes, the first thing was the accolades of Philip, or Philip's accolades. The second thing is Philip's attitude regarding personal evangelism. Philip's attitude. We see it in this passage, beloved brethren. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to actually look at and to look at any expository notes. We don't need to go to a commentary to see these things. They're as plain as we can describe it. And this is regarding his attitude regarding personal evangelism. Beloved friends, we know what attitude is. This is a mental position with regard to a fact or state. We can also say, according to what we see in terms of how it is defined, that it is a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. So when we talk about Philip's attitude, we are talking about his mental position regarding personal evangelism. When we talk about Philip's attitude, we are talking about his settled way of thinking about evangelism. He is settled in the sense that that's what he believes, and that's what is in his mind, and that's what he is going to do regarding personal evangelism. He has certain things in his mind about how he sees personal evangelism. Beloved friends, verse 27 of Acts and chapter 28, we see here, "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship." We are only interested in the first part. So he arose and went. Why? And where are we coming from? Because in verse 26 we are told, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying? So the reason we see in verse 27, Philip rising is simply because the Spirit or the angel of the Lord spoke to him. The first thing that we see in terms of attitude is that he was obedient. Philip was obedient in his personal evangelism. In simple terms, when we say that he was obedient, we know that it is simply to be in submission to the authority of God. When we talk about one being obedient, we are simply saying that they are submitting. And indeed, Philip submitted to the Lord even as he heard that word from the angel of the Lord. Submission is not just the word we can use. We can also say that obedience is compliance with an order. Compliance, not refusing, not hesitating. His attitude, number one, from verse 26 to 27, we see him as obedient. He arose and went. That's the basis of our saying that he was obedient. Because of these actions, he demonstrated obedience. In other words, we see that this man called Philip had no excuse. This man called Philip went without questioning the angel, without questioning God. A man who is under authority and is obedient does not stand to question. A man who is obedient does not put up excuses. Philip's attitude, obedient. In verse 27, what do we see about this man? So he arose. We also see that he was willing to teach one soul. In personal evangelism, you must be willing to address one soul. In personal evangelism, you must be thinking about one individual in most cases. So in his attitude, he is willing to teach one soul. He was willing to travel a distance for one soul. For we know that he had to. His attitude. We also see that he was unprejudiced. In verse 27, why do we say so? I just need to remind us that the Ethiopian was considered an outcast, but Philip went to minister to him. Is it not true that we have sometimes moments when we choose who to share God's word with? Is it not true that sometimes we do regard others, maybe because of our perception that they are beyond redemption and that these will never come to faith at all? Is it not true that some do have this complex that they don't want to share God's word with those who are wearing things or clothes that are ragged, so to speak? Is it not true that some people want to share God's word with the rich? Is it not true that some other people do not want to go down to the poor to share God's word? But here is a man who is willing to teach and to evangelize this person who is a nobody, who is considered an outcast. Another thing that we see about his attitude is that he had a sense of urgency. In verse 27, he arose and went. There is no hesitation. In personal evangelism, as we see this man carrying out, we need to have this sense of urgency. And it is interesting that we must have a sense of urgency, but be patient. What do I mean by that? We must rise up, we must go, we must reach out. And we must not just do it once, we must persist in the preaching of the gospel. Beloved friends, beloved people of God, attitude plays an important role in one's life. Generally, the hyper-Calvinist struggles with evangelism and personal evangelism. The attitude is that if they are elect, definitely they are not going to die. Definitely one day they will come to faith. They believe that, and we do believe that whoever is part of the elect of God, regardless of whatever happens, they will still come to faith. They will not perish. And it is that attitude that sometimes drives many away from engaging in this personal evangelism. Friends, Christians, brethren, this man's attitude is one good example that we need to follow in personal evangelism. Attitude plays an important role. His mind was set on serving the Lord. His mind was set on gossiping the gospel. His mind was set on sharing God's word. His mental state was like that. And when a person has got this attitude, they will not choose who to share the gospel with. Beloved brethren, when someone has got this attitude, they will not let people pass without sharing God's word. They will not sit in their places of work for years without sharing the word of God. When they have this attitude, they will not let their servants, the garden boy, the helper, spend time in their homes without sharing the word of God. They will not go for a holiday and sit and just talk about politics and football and talk about who's winning the premiership. Well, we don't care. We are not going to be paid. But they also have to consider this important thing. And you have to consider this important thing. Don't just share the things of this world, the politics, the football, the what. We must share God's word. Our mind must be set on that. We need to have this mental mind, so to speak, or mental state to share God's word. Most of the time, we are not like Philip. Our minds are set on something else. Our minds are so busy with the things that we consider to be more important, but not so with Philip. His attitude was different. Apart from learning from his attitude, we can also learn something in the third place: Philip's approach to personal evangelism. In verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. What we see here, and especially in verse 30, is that his approach was one to ask a question. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" His approach is to ask a question in order to start a conversation. And this should be our approach in personal evangelism. We must be looking for moments to begin a conversation. And many are times that we come as Christians and just want to say things without engaging this person into a conversation. We just preach and preach and preach and preach and leave. But look at this approach, asking a question to strike a conversation. In other words, what we see him doing here is to try and reason with this Ethiopian man. And in evangelism, that is a very important component, engaging someone to reason with them. He asked a question to begin a conversation. The other thing that we see in his approach to personal evangelism is that he used the scriptures. From verse 31, we see what this man was reading, which is found in Isaiah, and this is what Philip is using. So this man called Philip approached personal evangelism with the scriptures or the use of the scriptures. Sometimes I do wonder when I listen to sermons of people who begin to preach without reading and referring to any scripture, without referring sometimes even to the Lord Jesus Christ, without referring to sin. But here is a man who knew the scriptures and used the scriptures. What we see about his approach is that he did not just use the scriptures in general, but he used the scriptures to preach Christ. And in personal evangelism, that should be our goal. That should be our method, using the scriptures to preach Christ to the lost. If we don't use the scriptures to preach Christ, we will be misrepresenting Christ, misrepresenting the gospel. And this man called Philip uses what is there. In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And I'm interested in the phrase, preached Jesus to him. Any form of personal evangelism or evangelism which lacks this phrase, preaching Christ to them, is not sharing God's word at all. It is not evangelism at all. Christ was the center of his conversation. He did not go about so many other questions asking him, but why were you spending time reading what you can't understand? What's wrong with you? But why do you continue reading what you can't understand? It was not time for him to start saying all sorts of things, but it was time for him to center the conversation on Christ. Practically speaking, many are the times that we find people of different denominations with those convictions, and they are so much engrossed in these beliefs and doctrine. And every time you try to engage into this conversation, they will take you to controversial moments. They will take you to controversial subjects. They will begin to ask you about Christ. They know that this is where they differ from you. And so they will swear you they don't want to hear Christ preach to them. But no matter how the conversation starts, remember, According to Philip, it has to be centered on Christ. And preaching Christ and centering the conversation on Christ, it is not just to center it and talk about the miracles that he did. It is not to come and say he is a powerful man. Therefore, he can do so much. He can bless you. It is to say this Christ died for your sins. It is to say this Christ suffered for you. It is to say that this is the only way to heaven. It is to say that this is the only way to salvation. It is to say that they must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is centering the gospel on Christ, who is the only way to heaven, the only door as it were. And this is what this man was doing. Beloved, he preached Jesus. In personal evangelism, we preach Jesus. Another thing that we see regarding his approach to personal evangelism, in verse 40, to jump a few verses, we see that this man, in verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. In his approach to personal evangelism, he looked for more opportunities. A man or woman, boy or girl, who is involved in personal evangelism, they look for opportunities. And this man is passing through places and is looking for opportunities to share God's word. He is not looking for congregations per se. He is looking for people. He is looking for those on his way so that he could share the word of God. Beloved, we ought to look for opportunities to share God's word. In personal evangelism, this should be our approach, looking for opportunities. It is sad that sometimes, even when these opportunities represent themselves before us, sinners, those who do not know Christ, coming to church, they will stand outside after the service and here are opportunities for us to present the gospel to them. Opportunities have come our way, not like this man who was going around looking for opportunities, but God has brought these people to us, and these are opportunities probably that the Lord is presenting because we have failed to go out there, and maybe has convicted these people to come and hear God's word, and someone needs to speak to them. I pray that we'll be like this man, with such an approach to evangelism, looking for opportunities. Beloved, this particular account of Philip presents lessons that we should reflect upon. It presents to us this evening a challenge. How are we doing in this particular matter of personal evangelism? Those who are involved in personal evangelism, not only do we realize that they are walking right with the Lord and that they are compassionate, we also see that they know what has happened in their lives. They have been saved. They know that they were heading to hell. And therefore, when they see this garden boy walking, they know, full of compassion, that he is walking in that direction of hell. Therefore, they want to speak to him. They know that this family member, though it is difficult to minister to our family members, somehow we must preach the gospel to them on a one-to-one basis. Philip is our example today. Can you imagine if 100 of us were to be engaged in personal evangelism, and on this particular Saturday, we left everything and went and spoke to one person, what sort of an effect and impact we're going to have upon the lives of many? We must conclude. Beloved friends, this simple example of Philip was meant to remind us of this forgotten or neglected activity and task of personal evangelism. Many are living without Christ today. Do we realize where they are going? Beloved, we have been called to share the gospel with such men and women. Someone probably reached out to us on a personal level. But why should we be a kind of people who don't want to do the same? Beloved, apart from the example of Philip, we have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was involved in personal evangelism. Personal evangelism will accord us an opportunity to share the good news to someone, even if they don't come to church. Therefore, personal evangelism has got an important part in the work of God, in the spreading of the gospel, as it were. We must consider it. We must remember there are souls to rescue. We must remember that we need to rescue them. We must remember that God has saved us so that we can be able to share the gospel with them. The hymn writer, talking about this particular subject, says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them Jesus the mighty to save." Oh, how I pray this evening that we will be encouraged and will sing these words with a resolution to be engaged in personal evangelism. Amen.